Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's back. The NBA is back. It still feels odd to say it. It felt odd to watch it, even though we've seen a bunch of scrimmages over the last couple of weeks. It wasn't quite the same as seeing the intensity amped up for a game that actually counts. Isn't that weird? From the bubble inside Orlando, the Lakers earned their 50th win 4.5 months after they earned their 49th win. But it counts. A win is a win is a win is a win. Ooh, I haven't said that in a long time. It feels really good to say that. The Lakers' first 50-win campaign since the 2010-11 season. And of course, we know they've snapped their playoff drought as well. Trying to grab that number one seed, it'll mean something in terms of playoff pairings, in terms of playoff series. For now, though, they're on neutral courts. They've got LED screens with virtual fans. It took me a little bit. I was contemplating whether or not those were actually Lakers and Clippers fans or just some fans randomly from a video game. I've come to believe that that's what they are. But the noise itself was pretty authentic. I spent some time both watching the TV broadcast and then listening to the radio call. And at times, the radio announcers had to raise their voice over the fake fans. Faux fans. Hashtag faux, F-A-U-X, fans. Whatever, the games counted. And it was good to see the second of the four major team sports return to action in the good old U.S. of A. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Happy almost Friday to you. We appreciate you tuning in, as always. And once again, we've got plenty to talk about on this sports radio show. I mean, at least we are now. We're not always sports, but it's a good time to be talking about sports. Right now, it's historic. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Do you need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. So you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Love to hear from you. What did you think? Simple enough. What did you think? Because as much as you might tell me that you're not going to watch, you didn't watch, you told me the same thing about baseball. And the first night that baseball returned, which was actually a week ago, the ratings were mammoth. They were huge for baseball, not for football, but for baseball, comparatively, a lot of people tuned in to watch. And so I suspect the same will be the case for the NBA and its restart, officially underway with its first two tussles. So what did it look like? What did it sound like to you? And for an insider's perspective, coming up top of next hour, so an hour from now, Mark Hestischer will join us from Inside the Bubble. He just got done calling Clippers Lakers, which turned into a really long broadcast, but he just got done. And so we'll ask him how it looked and sounded from inside the arena. That's coming up next hour. By the way, the NBA would prefer we don't call it a bubble. The NBA would like us to call it a campus. You may have heard this on the TNT broadcast Reggie Miller was incensed over it. But apparently, in order to enhance the experience of the NBA players while they are in Orlando on the campus, they've actually stocked fish in the pond where they're allowed to go fishing just to ensure they catch fish and they're not frustrated over no fish. One fish, two fish, blue fish, green fish. No, wait. One fish, blue. I forgot. Dave, you have kids. What is that? One fish, two fish, blue fish, go fish? No, I totally forgot it. I messed it up big time. Someone help.
I'm currently overthinking it at the moment, but it
one fish,
it right.
Two
There's
fish.
A blue fish in there, red fish. And
one fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish. Is that it? Now. One fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish?
Maybe there it is. We can rhyme.
This is where my spaghetti plate brain takes me. I'm talking about the NBA. I go to fishing and fake fish, and now I'm doing kids' nursery rhymes. I really don't know what that's from either. I can't place it right this second. It's been a while since I used those with my nieces. But it was cool. I think it was cool. I believe that the TV broadcast, the way they've got things set up inside the arenas, they do a good job of masking the fact that there are no fans there. Okay, so we don't always see the virtual fans. You know why? Because the camera angles are so tight. They're not giving you a bird's eye view. They're not giving you wide angle very often. In fact, how often did you actually see what was beyond the baseline? Very little. What you see is half court, and that's it. And they don't raise the camera angle as opposed to... Even now on NBA TV, they're showing some really great games from earlier in the season. And very often they're giving you the down low view of the baseline. They're giving you the high angle. They're doing a wide shot where you can see the crowds. We know that when a crowd is lit, I know I really shouldn't say that. We know when a crowd is fired up that we'll often get that view on TV. Just to see the faces in the crowds. So they didn't do that. The broadcast pretty much stuck to the half court angle. And with the LED screens, you didn't see the fact that they were empty stands. They had these screens hung all around the court so that what you're seeing is constant nonstop video. And yeah, there's virtual fans, but you didn't see them much on TV either. There definitely was some pumped in crowd noise. I didn't think it was intrusive on TV. It was loud on radio. It really was. I'll say the same thing I said about listening to baseball a week ago for the first time. If I didn't know there were no fans in the stands, I would think this was a regular late season stretch game. And so we've got two in the books. The Lakers get their 50th win. Both of the games went down to the wire. So at one point, the New Orleans Pelicans had a 16-point cushion. At one point, the Lakers were up big. The Clippers came back. In fact, you hear that old adage in sports, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. Well, actually, for the Lakers, it was how they started and how they finished because they had a really strong first quarter and then a strong fourth quarter. But in between, meh, not so much. I shouldn't say meh either. I don't know where this is coming from. So find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. And we're going to get into some of the meat and potatoes of these two games in Orlando. But it's great to have you alongside our final show of the work week, After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. It was really good to see Paul George in a rhythm, in a groove. It was good to see him out there jacking up shots. In fact, he took 11 from beyond the arc. He took 17 shots overall, and really, he looked fluid. He didn't look rusty to me at all. He actually looked healthy, which we haven't seen from him for most of the season.
Rips through down the middle of the lane. No foul called. Kicks it out. George in the near side corner. He got a three ball. PG-13 unconscious from deep once again. And he's got 27 points to bring the Clippers to one. 99-98 with 90 seconds to play. 33 seconds left. Get it to George, top of the key. Double nearly Keane. He'll step into a straightaway three and buries it. Paul George automatic in the clutch. 30 points for PG-13, and the Clippers have tied it at 101.
Noah Eagle on the Clippers radio network. So Paul George goes 6 of 11 from downtown. His three-point shooting really kept the Clippers close, Try saying that fast five times or 30 times, which is how many points he had to go along with his five boards, his three assists, his three steals. It feels so much fun to read a line for a player. Nice. I actually feel like I'm rusty talking about basketball, for heaven's sakes. So, as I say, it was a seesaw affair, but the hot shooting of Paul George, of course, we know what Kawhi Leonard is capable of. He spent a lot of time on the free throw line, but he's great as usual. What doesn't Kawhi Leonard do well? But ultimately, the tandem of Anthony Davis and LeBron James was strong enough. And you know that LeBron didn't have a great scoring night. He likes to fancy himself a point guard. So he had 7 assists and he had 11 rebounds. He's always active and he's always the floor general out there. But until the fourth quarter, I think he had just 9 points going into that fourth quarter. But it was cool to see this game go down to the wire and see LeBron flex his muscles again.
LeBron's got it just inside half court. Game tied at 101. 10 seconds to shoot. LeBron runner in the lane. No good. Got his own rebound and scores. It's 103-101 Lakers. Timeout Clippers. And now, Michael, the Clippers can go for 3 in the win.
Of course, because we have basketball and baseball back, it doesn't mean all is right with the world. But for you sports fans, for me as a sports fan and as a sports radio host who've been looking forward to this for months, it's been 20 weeks. Did you know that? 20 weeks since we saw games that counted in the NBA. And the NHL is not far behind. They're on the ice with scrimmages now in Edmonton and Toronto, but they will drop the puck on the Stanley Cup playoffs, this tweaked format, come Saturday. We've waited such a long time for this. How many shows did we talk ad nauseum about the ideas, the plans, the blueprints, the brainstorming, the logistics, the hurdles, the challenges, the hopes, but also the fears that it wouldn't work? Well, guess what? It's working. It's working. And as much as there's still trepidation about whether or not these seasons will finish, these playoffs will finish, it's a tribute to both the NBA and the NHL and the athletes and the coaches and the support staff, these travel parties inside the bubbles, who have done everything asked of them, except you, Lou Williams. They're protecting the bubble, and now they're back to hoops. And they can play without fear. I imagine that's a major part of it, the mental toughness. Not just about being away from your families, being in a situation where you're devoid of your creature comforts. And I'm not suggesting they're sleeping on the floor or anything. But they're not in their own beds. They don't have their own locker rooms. We know human beings are creatures of habit, even more so the top athletes in the world. They stick to these habits. They stick to these routines. They cling to their process to get them to where they are. And so as I was watching these games, I was thinking two things. Number one, this is history. Maybe not the history that we ever would have asked for. Not the history that we ever would have expected when this NBA season tipped off. But this is history. The end of the NBA regular season, 4.5 months after it shut down. And we're going to see a champion crowned in a bubble. Or the campus. Whatever, NBA. You can throw $150 million at the problem, but you can't force us to call it a campus. Negative, Ghost Rider. And same thing for the NHL. It's history. We're going to see the Stanley Cup playoffs in two hub cities. It's not going to look the same. It's not going to sound the same. So the history itself, I felt that magnitude. But also, I kept thinking, can you imagine the emotions? I'm sure there were nerves. I'm sure there were some butterflies, some anxiety, but a lot of adrenaline, a lot of excitement, a lot of energy. As these guys get to dial up the intensity again and do what they love. And I'll just say it one more time. They have done everything asked of them. I get it. They make a lot of money. So what? It's really easy for them to not want to jump through all these hoops. No pun intended. But they're protecting their bubble. They're protecting each other. They're protecting their game. And as their reward, they get to get back on the court and play and crown a champion. I mean, no doubt, 4.5 months felt like eternity at times. I know it did to me, and I don't even play. And so, good for you, NBA. Congratulations on the restart. No, it's not the same. And no, I hope we're not in the same place come this time next year. I don't want to see any basketball in July of next year. None, except for if we're talking about USA basketball at the Olympics. But it's here. It's unique. It's historical. I'm going to enjoy it. And I'm going to appreciate the fact that sports have returned with a vengeance. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. LeBron James, you know, the end of game sequences where he gets scrutinized and criticized and all of his actions are put under a microscope. Well, it wasn't the first shot that went down, but it was the tip-in. You know, offensive rebounds, they're sexy.
I love having the ball in my hands, you know, late in the game, tie game, being down, being up. You know, we had a three-point game with like 40 seconds to go. We got a great look for Danny. He missed it. Paul George came back and hit a three to tie the game. And for me, just try to, you know, be aggressive.
Seriously, as much rust as there might have been, maybe a little bit for the Clippers. I felt like you could see it for most of the guys at the beginning of Jazz Pelicans, which we'll talk about here coming up. Being aggressive, forcing the issue, being proactive instead of reactive, all of those qualities, all of those approaches are so important in sports. Sometimes it does pay to be a bull in a china shop and go after what you want. And we know that is LeBron James. There's a finesse to his bullness, but he is still a bull in a china shop. But he went after that offensive rebound. He put it back in, and ultimately that was the final margin. And so really cool to see these guys back on the court. Lakers beat the Clippers 103-101. How about the update at the bottom of the hour with Bob Uecker actually having basketball scores? And soon, as I say, we will add hockey to the mix. So a little bit more from inside the bubble campus. The Jazz and the Pelicans. Zion Williamson, he was, it seems weird to say on the bench. He was at the bench. He was in the bench. It's a bench area. He was not quarantined, so that's good. But after 2 weeks of not practicing with the Pelicans, he was on a minutes restriction, which meant he was not on the court, most importantly, at the end of the game against the Jazz. What did you think? I can't wait to hear your impressions.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
On the Utah Jazz Radio Network, it was a rally for the Jazz as well, like it was for the Clippers and the Lakers. Well, the Clippers rallied too. Everybody rallied. Everybody makes a run. Isn't that the cliche about the NBA? So yes, all four teams had their runs, their moments to shine. Ultimately, the Lakers put together a 12-0 run in the fourth quarter and got past their LA rivals. And then Utah rallied from what was a 16-point deficit in this game. And while Brandon Ingram did have I thought it was a great campaign. I know he missed that last shot, but to me, he seemed like one of the only guys who came out on fire, who wasn't in any kind of a rusty mode. He did cool off. He took a lot of shots from deep, and he did cool off. But initially, I thought he had good energy, and his legs looked like they were good. He had his sea legs, his NBA sea legs under him. So I think it's going to be a couple of games before you see them all in their rhythm, in their groove, with the right timing. Even though they've played scrimmages, it's not the same intensity. During scrimmages, you've got guys hanging out on the sideline, cackling away, laughing, joking. And so this is different. They know both mentally and physically, you don't want to go all out for a scrimmage. You get a couple of minutes of work and then you dial it down. But this is different. So I think you are seeing some rust, not to mention in the case of the Lakers, they're playing with a different lineup. So no Avery Bradley, no Rajon Rondo. They did have Anthony Davis back. He had a big campaign. But then for the Jazz and the Pelicans, I mean, you're talking about a couple weeks of practice, but then having to get out there on the court together. It was cool to see Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell take charge. So both of them had really strong restarts. I was going to say debut, but that's not really the case. It's the re-debut. It's the restart of the restart. And then Zion Williamson. So this was kind of the story from the first game. Zion Williamson hadn't practiced with the team for 2 weeks because he left the bubble for a family matter, an emergency. And when he returned, he had to quarantine for 4 days. He tested negative the entire time he was gone and every day since he got back. But he only had a couple of practices with the team before they tipped off tonight. So he was held to 15 minutes, 13 points. This is odd. The box score lists him with no rebounds, but I could have sworn I saw him at least tip a couple of balls. So he was active, but probably in his case, he does need to get those basketball legs churning again and get back into his rhythm. So I think that's going to be the story a lot. And we've talked about that with the NFL too, because there won't be any preseason games. It's going to be sloppy, maybe for the first month, even the first 6 weeks. But what's the rule? No complaining. New house rule. No complaining about how sloppy or bad the sports are when they return. Actually, when you start complaining, I'll know that we have returned at least somewhat to a sense of sports normal. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Donovan Mitchell wanted everybody to know that it's time to stop talking about his relationship with the guy that may have given him the virus. So depending on the reports and what you believe, Rudy Gobert, the first in the NBA, patient zero, to be diagnosed with coronavirus. And then, of course, the teammates ended up with it, including Donovan Mitchell. But these two guys have talked it out. And though there continue to be questions about their relationship, they came out and played really well together.
Hopefully that kind of stops y'all from talking about it, to be honest with you. I think at the end of the day, you know, we're basketball players, about to make the right plays. He did a hell of a job today. I try to find my way and find guys and get open. And I think for me, it's at the end of the game, it's making the right read.
20 points for Donovan, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. For Rudy Gobert, 14 points and a dozen rebounds. And he's the one who sank the free throws with 6.9 seconds left that broke the tie. As for what you saw with Zion at the end of the game, which was him sitting in the bench area. It's weird. Should we call it the holding pen? Having spent time in Oklahoma and being around rodeos and cattle drives, we could call it the holding pen. It's definitely not a bench. It's more like a stage at a school assembly with the chairs all spaced apart. And we put a photo up on our Twitter and actually on our Facebook as well a couple of nights ago. So you can go and you can check it out. But at the end, there was no Zion Williamson. And Alvin Gentry had said, you know, we're going to keep him to roughly 15 minutes, which he did. He points to a different problem for the Pelicans in this game.
I thought we played really a good first half with the ball movement. And, we still managed our turnovers pretty good. But that third quarter, we let it get away from us. I think we had 8 turns in the third quarter. And against that team, there's no way you can do that.
20 total turnovers for the Pelicans, which actually is the same number recorded by the Jazz. When they come in spurts and you give extra opportunities to your opponents, that's where they hurt you. So what did you think? I thought it was not eerie. I remember when I first watched soccer, when I first watched baseball. Now, baseball going back to the exhibitions, not once they started actual games. I felt like they really ramped up their piped in crowd noise with their first games that counted. But when I initially watched soccer, when I initially watched golf and there were no galleries at the greens, the first time I watched NASCAR and the guys were walking out to their cars before they had started their engines, eerie was the word that kept coming to mind. So quiet. You could hear everything. Now, I know most of the broadcasts on the national level have adjusted, and right now that's what I have access to. I do listen to a lot of games on radio, every sport. Well, I don't listen to soccer on radio. It's not nearly as good. But I have listened to a lot of baseball, a lot of basketball games. And on radio, you wouldn't even know. Watching on TV, the lighting is different because these LED screens are flashing the whole time. And as I mentioned, the camera angles remain pretty tight. I didn't feel like it was super quiet on TNT, but I didn't feel like the piped in crowd noise was so prevalent and so prominent that it would take away from what else was happening. Now, coming up at the top of the hour, we're going to penetrate the Orlando bubble. And we'll talk to Mark Hestischer, who called the Clippers-Lakers broadcast for ESPN Radio. And if you haven't seen his Twitter, he posted a photo from where he is calling these games while he's in the bubble behind plexiglass. Not encased in plexiglass, but behind plexiglass. So a little bit of a different experience. I suppose now everybody's kind of understanding what it's like to be behind the glass at a hockey game where you're seeing through the plexiglass that's there to protect you from getting smashed in the face by a puck, by a stray puck. So check out his Twitter at Mark Hestischer, and then he'll join us from his Orlando hotel room. That's really where they go now when they're done working, back to their hotel rooms. But I thought it was cool. And I say job well done to the NBA because they've worked really hard and they've had to stick to the program. And I wouldn't say that this has been a fun process with the testing every day and everything else they've had to go through to pick up and move to Orlando, but I applaud them for the efforts, and I'm glad that basketball is back, and I look forward to hockey joining the fray as well. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, our phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio, and here's our latest sports update with actual scores. Here's Bob Uecker.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome back, Big Z. It was cool to see Zion out there on the court again. He is worth the price of admission, even when we're not paying for admission at this particular time. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. What did you think about what you saw from the NBA bubble in Orlando? 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS or 4227. It's sponsored by Geico. And did you know, right now, Geico offers an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies. And that's on top of what Geico can already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. Coming up, top of the hour, as I've mentioned, we're going to head to Orlando. And we'll talk to Mark Hestischer, who's a longtime friend of mine. In fact, the first person I ever met when I joined my previous network. That was way back when I was a part-timer. And he's one of the few. There are a handful of broadcasters who are inside the bubble right now. That means Kevin Harlan and Reggie Miller, who did the late game on TNT. And then, of course, you had the earlier game as well with Ian Eagle, who was calling the play-by-play. And then you also have the radio guys. And for now, it's Mark Hestischer and John Barry. And so Mark got to the bubble on Tuesday and had to go through a couple of tests of his own. And he's not having any contact. None of the broadcasters are having any contact with the players themselves. So they're operating in a completely different bubble, but they are in the arena for the games. And so I wanted to take you inside the arena as much as possible. And we'll ask Mark how it sounded and what it looked like. So 855-212-4CBS. You may have heard, I'm totally taking a pivot right here. Pivot! Because this is also big news. You may have heard the SEC's announcement, Commissioner Greg Sankey talking about college football and what they've got in store for their college sports right now, their fall sports right now. And that's going to be conference-only games. They're adding 2 conference games per team in the SEC, but they've decided not to fool around with any non-conference games, which of course means you're getting some pretty big time rivalries that are going by the wayside. And here's the other, to me, this was actually the biggest piece of news, not so much the fact that they're doing conference only, because we've heard that from other Power 5 conferences around the country, but not starting until September 26th. That's a month after we normally see football start. Now, remember, earlier this week, the NCAA designated late August. So I think it's August 29th. That's the date August 29th, it's week zero. It's the week when college football would initially start. And they've said it's okay if you want to start your games then, if you're going to play non-conference games, or if you're looking for some flexibility later in your schedule, you can start in late August. But right now, a lot of the conferences, not yet the Big 12, but a lot of the conferences have decided they're pushing back as opposed to starting even in early September. The SEC approves a 10-game conference-only football schedule, which it won't start until September 26th. They do have the same divisions that they have always had or that they currently have. And the league is going to end up then determining the two additional teams that they will play beyond what was already on their schedules. So they haven't yet unveiled the full schedule. SEC title game is also pushed back. Get this. It's Christmas week. So it's 6 days before Christmas, the SEC title game. And right now it's still scheduled for Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta. Interesting. And the ACC has decided they'll play 11 games, one non-conference each. They're starting in mid-September. I feel like the ACC maybe offers a little more flexibility, although if you're going to have that big gap until the SEC title game, I suppose you could push games later at night. Later at night, oh my gosh. Later in the season. Still trying to figure out how all this is going to work with all the various conferences doing their own thing. And if they've given up on any type of collaboration. Again, the ACC is doing one non-conference game. The Big 12 has got non-conference games scheduled too. But we've seen a bunch of other conferences either cancel altogether, that's mostly mid-majors, or in the case of some of the Power Fives, go conference-only slates. Barrett Salee covers college football for CBS Sports HQ, and he was giving his reaction on Thursday, not favorable.
There are a couple trains of thought, and I think the SEC moving its schedule back is purely because they think there will be an uptick in cases once students return to campus. And while that may be true, you know, you could have moved the season up, even if you're only playing 10 games, build in some bye weeks, build in some buffers in case coronavirus or whatever, you know, canceled some games. So, yeah, I'm disappointed. My opinion on this is pretty simple. The SEC and really every conference should have announced a normal schedule with an expanded calendar, but also made public different variations, different plans that are built to react to different circumstances that we don't know yet. I mean, the truth of the matter is this. You know, none of us have lived through a pandemic before. The numbers now are not going to be what they are on September 5th or October 5th or November 5th. So if you have different plans, some close to what you normally have and others completely different and everything in between, I think it allows more flexibility. I would have done that. And yes, I'm extremely disappointed in the SEC's decision, not because just they don't miss have out of conference games, but also we're not going to get four intrastate rivalries that mean so much to each of those states. So yes, very disappointing on a lot of different levels.
Barrett Salee on CBS Sports HQ. He's been on our show many times. And as I was saying, I wonder if the period of collaboration is over. And he points to those games that we have become used to that are rivalry games that are cross-conference. Well, on the day that the ACC decided to go with 10 games in conference, one game out of conference, the indication was, hey, we're going to leave that one non-conference game on the schedule so that we can accommodate some of these long-standing rivalries. And then the SEC, roughly 24 hours later, comes in and says, nope, no thanks, we're good. So whether they talked about it, whether they didn't talk about it, I'm sure there was some communication. The SEC clearly decided to go its own way. The SEC considered what the ACC was offering and said, nah, we're going to keep it in conference this year. So these are the games that we won't get. And for those of you who are big-time college football fans, this will definitely leave a void. Traditional regular season rivalries between ACC and SEC schools. I think the biggest one is South Carolina-Clemson. But also Florida-Florida State. It's another huge one. Georgia-Georgia Tech. And Kentucky-Louisville. I don't know if it would have been the same. Well, it wouldn't have been the same without fans. But maybe the anticipation would have been. And as we talk about having a distraction, having sports back on the field, the court, the ice, having something to look forward to after the long wait as sports fans, it's a bummer that these games won't be included on the schedule this year. Now, I understand why conferences are going to league-only schedules. Not only do they get the uniformity, where they feel like they have more control and more say over health and safety protocols, cleaning procedures, travel logistics, they can make it uniform across the conference. So instead of having to worry about what another conference is doing in terms of its cleaning, in terms of its testing, and going into, I don't want to say unfamiliar territory, but going into an atmosphere where it's up to a different conference to make sure that they're safe, they now have kept it in-house, so to speak. In terms of the travel, you still have these conferences that, I mean, they're far-reaching. Remember a few years ago, we started to see conference realignment, and the geography doesn't even really make sense anymore. Geography is irrelevant now when it comes to conferences and conference realignment. But it's unfortunate, and I'm sure the ACC is not just disappointed, but probably a little bit peeved that they made room in their schedule for these rivalry games after being lobbied by the coaches, but the SEC decided not to. I hesitate to use the word victim because I know there's an obvious connotation, negative connotation to that, but in terms of sports victims, this is yet another way in which the coronavirus in 2020 takes away something that has become a bit of a staple for us as sports fans. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4227. Let's talk to Raymond, who's in Cleveland. Welcome, Raymond.
How you doing, Amy? Good to hear from you. I'm asking you to pivot one more time because you're missing a huge story.
I'm not missing anything. Just because I haven't talked about it doesn't mean I missed it, man.
Okay. We in Cleveland are extremely happy about our Indians. We are setting records about our starting pitching. Shane Beaver tied the record tonight for most strikeouts to begin a season. That's ever in the Major League Baseball.
Mm-hmm. He had 13 tonight.
Yes. And he's got 26-27 for the season. But what's got Indians fans real excited is the two games that we've lost. We had relief pitching breakdowns, and we have a new closer by the name of Jeff Karinchak. Keep your eye on Jeff Karinchak. Karinchak, if I say his name right, he came in and he pitched six pitches to win the game. Six pitches in the ninth inning. We in Cleveland are very happy. Normally we would be into the NBA, but we here in Cleveland, we still are hurting at losing LeBron James. But for one night, we were all happy. We were so psyched up. I was texting two other people during the game. We're so excited about the Indians.
Woo!
So anyway, the joy in feeling winning a winning game here in Cleveland never gets old. I'll let you go with that, but I want to hit on two personal notes. Good luck on Zooming with your Grammy. And talk more about Sugar the Cat. I'm a Sugar the Cat fan.
If I talk more about her, it will be to talk about how annoying she is. So
That's part of being a cat.
Yeah. Well, she's got it down to a
science. Part of their DNA.
Yeah, believe me. Oh, my gosh. That cat never stops talking. So, all right. Well, yes, Raymond. Hadn't talked baseball yet tonight, but an eight-inning gem from Shane Bieber, who gets the win. 13 strikeouts. He still has a zero ERA to start the season, and the Indians get their first road win. So, all good stuff. I appreciate your phone call. Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
855-212-4227. Now, coming up, we're going to place a phone call of our own to Orlando because the phones presumably do work inside the bubble. So Mark Castisher, who called Clippers Lakers for the NBA on ESPN Radio, he will join us and we'll get his impressions. And so I can give you mine and you can give me yours. But ultimately, it's kind of cool to hear from one of the few people, not a player, one of the few people not part of an NBA travel party who gets the privilege. I think it's a privilege of being inside the bubble. And I get it. It's not one of those situations where you have all the freedom that you're used to at home. And maybe it will get monotonous after a while, though I kind of feel like the free golf and the free fishing would be awesome. But it's also history. And it's also an opportunity to be where very few have ever been before and to do what almost no one has ever done before. So I think that's cool. So Mark is part of this bubble blazing, this blazing a trail inside the bubble.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.